Open your Bibles back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning. And Lord willing, we will finish out this chapter this afternoon. Just a few things I want to point out as we look into the end of this chapter. Verse 25 is where we're going to begin. If you're able to, would you stand with me? We're going to read a few verses and have a word of prayer. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. This is right where we left off. Paul continues his thought to the elders of Ephesus, and he says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which of the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that we have this afternoon. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow, Lord, that we would grow in our knowledge, our faith. Lord, I pray that we would love you more, and as we love you more, we would just seek to do your will. I pray if there's one who isn't saved, that they would repent and believe the gospel this afternoon. Lord, help us all to be more grateful for the grace you've shown us. Pray your will be done in each of our hearts, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A few things that I want to point out this afternoon and this address. You'll recall, as I mentioned this morning, as Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, he doesn't go to Ephesus. Rather, he calls for all the elders of Ephesus to come meet with him. And once they get there, he gives them this address where he shares kind of his final thoughts that he would have for them. And in this, where we just picked up, I want you to notice first Paul's conscience. As he was speaking to them, he said in verse 25, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now when you read verse 26 in particular, does that make you think of anywhere else in Scripture? "I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men." I'll tell you, it makes me think of Ezekiel 33. I think there's some similarities there. Do you remember the watchman that we're told about in Ezekiel? If you want to turn over there real quick, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1. "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away or take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, back in our text, we understand that Paul is speaking to a group of elders from Ephesus. And so primarily, I believe he's speaking to pastors, but the principles that are here, I think, apply to everybody. And the story of the watchman is one that always sticks with me. And when I read about how Paul tells them, he tells them to take record to this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. There is a principle in Scripture that we have a responsibility to warn those who are in danger, right? I mean, if there is something that you can do to help someone, you ought to do it. Did you see this story? I think it was 2 years ago. Did you guys see about the pizza delivery guy who ran into the burning home? It's an incredible story. His name was Nicholas. I can't remember his last name. If you Google it, you can find it later. You should read about it. But essentially, this pizza delivery guy was driving. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And as he drove by the street, he saw this house on fire. And he drove past it first, and then he realized he didn't see anybody outside the house. So he went back, pulls in the driveway. The house is fully engulfed. He runs in the back door, and as he does, the oldest kid that was there, I think, was 17 or so, and was getting out of the house with three other children. And he said, "Is there anyone else in the house?" And she said, "I don't know where my six-year-old sister is." So he, at this point, he couldn't see anything. It was dark. Smoke was everywhere. But he went upstairs and he kept searching. And he said he used his ears because he couldn't see. He found this little girl, and by the time he found her, he couldn't make his way back down the stairs. So he broke a window with his arm. He jumped out the window, and the girl suffered a cut on her foot. And he had severe smoke inhalation. He had to spend a couple days in the hospital, but he did it. And after that, people were calling him a hero, and they were saying, you know, he deserved all these different medals and awards. And he said, "I'm not really a hero. I did what anybody should have done." And wouldn't you like to think that that's how you would respond in that situation? I think it's different when you're really there. But another thing that he said about it in an interview, he said, "Yeah, I've got some injuries, but I keep telling myself it was worth it." I mean, was it not worth it? I mean, yeah, he cut his arm, and I think he might have broke his leg, but he saved that girl's life. And the way that he viewed that was, even though he's just a pizza delivery guy, he had the ability to help someone in that situation. Therefore, he had the responsibility to help. And with this idea of the watchman, and when Paul tells the elders at Ephesus that I'm pure from the blood of all men, what the story of the watchman teaches us is that we have a responsibility to warn those who are in danger. And our community is full of people who are in danger. And we have a responsibility to do what we can to help them. And so Paul, though, he tells them, and so that, I think, primarily, I look at Ezekiel 33 as warning those and telling them the gospel so they can be saved. But here, Paul tells them that he is pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So this is interesting, because it's true that Paul preached the gospel, and there were many people in Ephesus who were saved after hearing Paul preach the gospel. But then Paul continued to teach them and to preach to them and to share the whole counsel of God, because the gospel, and we've said this so much the last few weeks, but the gospel isn't just meant to save you from going to hell. The gospel should permeate every area of your life. It's beneficial, it's good, it's helpful. And if you see someone who is in trouble, the word of God will help. No matter what their problem is, no matter what their trial, their trouble is, you take them the counsel of God. And so Paul's conscience was clear. This tells me one thing. It's possible to have a clear conscience. Now, when I read this, it's intimidating to think, you know, because if we went around the room, wouldn't we all be able to think of examples of times we've failed to take the word of God to somebody? And I think about those times, and this seems like, well, I could never live up to this. But Paul was a human, just like you and I are. He was filled with the same Holy Spirit that lives in me and lives in you if you're a child of God. And so if Paul was able to have a clear conscience in the way that he's taken the word of God to the people that he has influence with, that's encouraging. Because if God could do it with Paul, he can do it with me. But Paul was a willing vessel, bound in the Spirit, who was very sensitive to the Spirit's leading, which is where you and I need to be. So he has a clear conscience. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That's how you can have a clear conscience, is by taking the whole counsel of God. Now, Paul, as a pastor, as a preacher, I will say this. Paul preached the word of God. And what I want to do, I don't know that I always do it. And this is like the worst time to use this example probably. But I've said under some preaching that, I'll just tell you the truth, it was a lot of somebody's opinion. It was a lot of stories, I say as I told a 10-minute story this morning. Nah, stories are like soy sauce. They're supposed to enhance, but it's not the whole meal. Caleb Wood said that one time. He's like, soy sauce is great if you enhance the flavor, but if you just eat it, it's not good by itself. So stories are good, but not if that's all you hear. And I've listened to some preaching that is just guys telling stories and giving opinions, and at the end of the day, that's not what a man of God is to do. And that really isn't what any of us are supposed to do. We're going to take the counsel of God to somebody, not our opinions, not our perspectives, not any of these things, but take the wisdom and counsel of what God has given us. And that's what can bring us a clear conscience in the way that we interact with those around us. So he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So he had a clear conscience. Notice he also had a great concern for them. So you remember he brings the elders, he brings the leaders of that church, and he's giving them this final address. And he goes on to say in our text, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Paul had a great concern for the people of Ephesus. He wanted them to continue to grow in the Lord and to walk with the Lord. And Paul recognized that in the absence of his leadership, there would be those who would be bent on destroying the work that God had done there in Ephesus. You know, every time you read about a church that was thriving and growing and reaching people, you understand there's an enemy there that wants to stamp that out. And it's been that way since the beginning. Anytime there's been a work of God, there is an enemy that wants to stop it. And so Paul warns them. He has this concern. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. What do you feed them with? Well, he already said, when I was with you, I gave you the whole counsel of God. And so someone who gets up to preach and to teach, what should they feed them with? The counsel of God. That is food. That is our substance. That's what we should be consuming. That's what we should want to eat. Somebody once said, find a church that preaches the Bible and go often. Listen. But don't just confine it here to inside these walls. You know, Ivy, she's only a year old, but she's already learned how to feed herself. We'll hand it to her and she can do it. Listen, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you ought to be able to pick up your Bible and read it. And know God. It's great for you. It's great for us to listen to preaching. It's a blessing to listen to a man get up and preach and tell you what the Lord has said. But we also need to get to the point where we can open up his word and I can see what God says. How else do I know if what the preacher's saying is true? We need to be able to open up and feed ourselves. We ought to have a desire to consume the word. And so Paul has this great concern because he knows in the absence of his leadership, there would be those who would want to destroy the work at Ephesus. And those are people that he was greatly invested in and he was concerned about. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So there's two things to look out here for. He said, when I leave, there will be those who fill my place whose intentions are evil. There will be those who come as wolves, like in sheep's clothing. They'll look right, but their intention is to hurt you. If you put a wolf in a group of sheep, he doesn't have good intentions. He wants to eat them. And likewise, spiritually, you put a wolf among sheep, they have no good intentions. And so there's something here that I think we do need to see the difference in. There is a difference between someone who is well-intentioned and wrong about something and someone who has wrong intentions. Because it's possible that someone, listen, I'm not saying that this ought to happen, but I would like to think if I get up here, I could preach something that maybe I misspeak. Maybe I say something that later on I'm like, ooh, I don't think that was right. But you understand, I'm not trying to destroy you. That is different than someone who comes here with the intention of deceiving you. And hopefully that I don't do that, but you talk enough, eventually you say something wrong. That's not my intent. And so we need to recognize that there are wolves, and we need to know that. The reason he warns them is because they needed to know that. Don't you want to know if there's danger around you? He was greatly concerned for them. So he said that there will be wolves who come in among you whose intention is to destroy you. But not only that, there will be those among yourselves who will speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And I can imagine how that was received. You remember when Jesus sat at the Last Supper and he said, one of you is going to betray me? And they're all looking around thinking, me? Who's that going to be? Well, Paul looks at these leaders and he says, there will be some among you who will rise up, speak perverse things to draw disciples after them. These will be men who are trying to build their own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. If there's one thing that I think is damaging for the Christian world today, it's no different really than the secular world. Our secular world is really engrossed in like celebrity worship, but a lot of Christians today are just engrossed in like in pastoral celebrity worship. Like because somebody says something in a sermon, it's right because of who they are. I don't care who you are. Unless you're Jesus himself, you can make a mistake. You can be wrong. There are men who I greatly, greatly respect. I mean, I'll just tell you, here's a name. A guy, I don't know, you guys throw rocks at me. I like John MacArthur. I listen to his sermons, like his commentary. I love John MacArthur. I disagree with John MacArthur on some things. And I'm sure that John MacArthur disagrees with me on some things. Just because I respect the man does not put him above the possibility of being wrong about something. And so we need to be careful because this is what he's warning them about. There will be people among you who try to draw disciples away to themselves. We're disciples of Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. And if you have any allegiance, if there's anyone that you listen to more than you listen to Jesus, that's not good. Like, you know, commentaries are good. Sermons, it's all good, but if you spend more time listening to a man than you do listening to God himself, it's not good. It's not good. And so he said that there will be people who try to draw away disciples after themselves. So don't fall for that. So he had this great concern for the church. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This for the leaders here at Ephesus, he was telling them, this is something that you have to actively guard against. You've got to watch out for this. Otherwise, you can fall prey and not even know. So he tells them to watch for this. Notice thirdly, he mentions his conduct. As he's giving them this farewell address, he says in, where were we at? Verse number 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, I'm reminded that the Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun, right? I mean, there's nothing new that hasn't happened before. Even 2,000 years later, people are still people. And it would seem what Paul is telling them is he's saying, remember, I'm not one of the greedy TV preachers who's just after your money. I mean, isn't that essentially what he's telling him? You guys remember when I was there, he said, I worked with my own hands. I didn't covet your silver, your gold, your raiment. I worked, and not just for my own benefit. Listen to what he says in verse 34. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And the reason why, because the Lord taught it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said, when I was there, you guys know my conduct. It is true. One time I heard Bob Spear say this, but he said a godly testimony results in two things. It results in accountability, because you got to live up to it, and believability. A good testimony makes your message more believable. It doesn't make it more true. It's either true or it's not. You preach the gospel, even if a donkey speaks, it doesn't matter. If the truth is being said, it's the truth. But the messenger can give it more credence depending on who's giving it. I mean, you guys know what I mean by that, right? I mean, there's some people, if they come up to you and they tell you the sky is falling, you'd say, well, I don't even know who you are. But there's other people that come to you and they give you a warning and you give it more weight because of who's sharing that information with you. And so his conduct, Paul's reminding them, all the things that I'm teaching you here, this farewell address, the things that I'm leaving with you. Remember, I was there for 3 years serving with you in tears. I'm not just some blow-by preacher who doesn't know who you are. I've spent time. I love you guys. And it's because of that that I'm sharing these things with you. You know my conduct. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And what a great principle right after Christmas time, right? I remember hearing that verse as a kid, and I thought, that's not true. Nope. But it is. You guys ever had a gift you were so excited to give to someone that you couldn't even let them wait? Yeah. It's blessed to give. It's a blessing to be able to give. And so Paul would work his conduct. He had a clear conscience. That's one of the reasons that he was also able to have a clear conscience, is because he did not covet their silver, their gold. He worked with his own hands. He was able to be a blessing to others. But I want you to notice, lastly this afternoon, his companionship. And this is something that I think is almost lost on us today in 2025 in America. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. See, as Paul already mentioned, he had spent 3 years there teaching them from house to house. He had been in their homes. He had spent time with them in the word. He had wept with them. He had laughed with them. He had lived his life with these people. And they were companions in the gospel. And I just have an idea that when I read these verses, there ought to be a companionship that exists between us, where this would be the reaction if any of us were saying, I'm leaving and you're not going to see me again. But let's face it. One time in seminary, sometimes you learn things in seminary and then sometimes you need to unlearn things that you were taught in seminary. But I had an instructor who told me that sometimes people look better leaving than they do coming. And I guess I made a puzzled look. He's like, you'll get it someday. It wasn't Bill Conley. It was someone else. But he said, yeah, sometimes people look better leaving than they do coming. But that really, we shouldn't want that to be true about us. We should want to be a blessing to one another, companions in the gospel, serving alongside one another in tears, in laughter, and in life. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Now, I'm not saying you have to do those things necessarily. You can shed a few tears. You don't necessarily have to kiss me. But there ought to be a companionship that exists. And it's so easy for us to be isolated from one another. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. If our interaction begins and ends at 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock, and then 1 to 2, and then 7 to 8, like if that's all of our interaction, I'm thankful that we at least have that, but that you're not going to grow that companionship through that. These weren't people that Paul just saw when he preached a sermon to. These are people that Paul ministered with, that he knew, and they knew him, and they had prayed together, and they had worked together, and they had labored together. This was a great companionship that they shared. You read about that in the first church in the book of Acts, right? I mean, they met daily, house to house, breaking bread. They were in close fellowship with each other. And ultimately, as we looked at this morning, as he's given the address in its entirety, what he's talking to them about is how he wants to continue to be faithful on his way to Jerusalem. But finishing his course with joy, the time that he spent in Ephesus was a part of that journey, was a part of that course. And so in many ways, they helped him on his path to finishing his course. And that's what we ought to be able to do for each other. I said this morning that we each have our own course to finish. We each have our own race to run, but we ought to be helping each other in it. Some people like to run alone, but I'm going to tell you this, that half marathon I did, I wouldn't have finished it if I did it by myself. I wouldn't have. I would have quit. Maybe I'm just not a determined enough person, but I would have quit. But you know what really did help me? Having Brian Williams and Adam Dias and Nadine and Garrett and a few other people, we all wanted to quit, but nobody wanted to be the one to quit. And so there's times where, you know, you get a win and you encourage someone else, and maybe there's another time where you're down and they encourage you, but you keep pushing each other together. And that's the companionship that we need to have here, that we would spur each other to faithfulness in continuing on. So Paul had a clear conscience in the way that he had interacted with them. He had great concern for them as a church body. He had clear conduct in the way that he had led his life as an example. And then finally, they were able to share this great companionship. Now I'm asking you guys to stand with me. That's what we're going to have this afternoon. Stand with me. We'll have a verse of invitation. Just a time of response. You never know what the Lord is doing in someone's heart. It may be that someone's convicted, they need to be saved. You can trust Christ as your Savior right where you're at right now. It may be that there's something else going on that the Spirit will prompt you to obey. You remember once again that Paul began this morning by saying that he was going to Jerusalem bound by the Spirit. He was a man who was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what this time is about. We open the Word of God, and then at the end we have this time where we want to be responsive to whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Whatever that is, we're going to have a word of prayer. We'll sing. I'll give you a chance to respond. Let's pray.